Tonight I'll be reading one verse in Matthew chapter 6, and verse number 33, a very familiar verse in all the Word of God. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, the Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for the cross. Thank you for what you did that brought about our redemption. Dear Lord, we could never repay you, but we ought to live a life pleasing to you, in service to you, in honor of what you did. And I pray, dear Lord, tonight as your word goes forth, that we would be encouraged, motivated, and challenged to do just that. And if there's someone here who does not know you as personal Lord and Savior, that tonight will be the night of their salvation. Give me the words you'll have me to say and use your word in a special way to speak as only you can. And we'll be careful to give you the honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. To-do lists are important to remind us of things that we need to do. You say, "Pastor, that's so earth-shattering." But I would tell you from experience of utilizing to-do lists is that it always feels good when you could cross something off of your list. It's always good when you can erase it. In other words, it means that you have accomplished it. I hope that's what it means. I hope it doesn't mean, well, I give up. I tired trying this thing, so let me just wipe it off. But we like when we can cross something off, signifying that that task is now done. But here's something that if you utilize these lists, you would realize that everything on your list cannot and does not have the same priority. Some things need to be done before others. If somehow you were to look at your list and you were to give everything equal priority, invariably, you will end up, at the end of the day, looking like and feeling like you didn't do anything. For example, if your car needs gas, and when I say needs gas, let's assume it's close to empty, and if you drive it a mile, you're going to end up somewhere on the side of the road. So if your car needs gas in such a manner, and you need to go to an event where you know you need to drive the car, well, it makes no sense to look at your to-do list and say, well, I need to iron all my clothes for next week, rather than going and filling up your tank. I'm ultimately simply saying that priority is important. When it comes to life in general, we are involved in doing a lot of things. We have our lives, we have our families, we have our children, our careers, our needs, we have our future to think about. And life can at times seem like one big to-do list. But once again, priority is important. Jesus gave us a basis on which we are to prioritize in our life, and it's found in Matthew's Gospel chapter 6 and verse number 33. We just read it, but it's important that we understand that as it relates to prioritizing, that this is a principle that Jesus has given that we ought to embrace to understand how do you prioritize. And we want to examine this verse tonight. We're in this series, entitled Church Member Responsibilities. And I would submit to all of us that these responsibilities that I'm giving to us by way of the Word of God, they involve and are relevant to every single church member. Every single person who is involved in this kingdom-building effort that God himself has ordained. And tonight, this message, by way of another requirement, responsibility, if you will, is that every member of a church should give the church preeminence in your life. Now, I know that sounds like, really? Wow? It might sound shocking to you, but I want to show you from the Word of God that God has a priority. He has an order. And it simply means that we ought to arrange our lives around kingdom building. That's really what Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 when he said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." He was not submitting that the other things were not important. As a matter of fact, if you were to read the entire Sermon on the Mount, and specifically chapter 6, you would notice that in the verses prior, he talks about no man can serve two masters in verse number 30, 24. He speaks of taking no thought of the morrow, that God will take care of the things that we are all consumed with, the flowers of the air, the birds of the air, rather, that he takes care of them, the flowers of the field. And he said, listen, if God can provide for them, this God can and will provide for you. But he said, and he is saying to us, and he said to the listeners to this sermon, that God has a priority. He has some things that you must decide to prioritize in order for him to be freed up to take care of the other things. And let's understand that the reason why we must give the church preeminence is because in alignment with Matthew 6:33, the church of the living God, it's not the pastor's church. It's not somebody else's church. It's God's church. Now, he provided the pastor for leadership of the church, but the church in this age of grace, watch this, is God's kingdom-building vehicle to accomplish his will. In other words, to further his kingdom. So if the vehicle that God has ordained and established to further his kingdom in the church, and he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, then he tells me I have to arrange and involve my life around his kingdom-building vehicle, the church. So I want us to understand that as a pastor, when I say that we ought to give the church preeminence, I'm not saying it because I'm the pastor. I'm saying it because in a conjunction with Matthew 6:33, God wants us to seek first the what? The kingdom of God. And so let's look at this briefly here tonight. As a number of important considerations in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 as it relates to this particular instruction and how it applies and is relevant to us. Now, notice first of all, there has to be a diligent pursuit. Notice the first two words in verse number 33. It says, but seek. Seek is a verb. It's an action word. It indicates a willingness, watch this carefully, to find something that is missing. You don't seek for something that you already have. You've heard me say this before, but I'll say it again. There's some general tendency differences between men and women, and we're living in a day and age where it seems not to be politically correct to say women generally do this and men generally do that. Everybody wants to make it seem as if we're all basically the same in every aspect. My friend, that is not true, but that's not the message. But I'm simply saying that from my observation, it seems to me that women tend to be able to have more diligence in finding things than us men. We seem to always can't find something, and then the problem is we seem not to be able to know how to look for it to find it. Such is the nature. And so, you say, Pastor, speak for yourself. Well, let me speak for myself. I tend to lose things, and so I always ask my wife, where is it, where it is? And then I look for it, and she tell me, did you look this place? I'm saying, no, it's not there, it's not there. Well, how you know you didn't look? And lo and behold, when I look, I find it right there. But seeking is an action word that requires some diligence. It requires a desire to pursue. When you and I were born, we were born with a void. As a result, this void causes us naturally, sometimes whether we recognize it or not, to actually seek to fill it. That is why you see so many people seeking to fill the void that God has created in us. But my friend, that void must be filled with Jesus Christ. So Jesus gives here an admonition to seek. To seek requires effort. To seek requires time. To seek requires money. And so it's important to understand that the things we need in life will not automatically fall into our laps. So there are times where there has to be a diligent pursuit for those things that we need. And so Jesus, in giving this admonition from the very beginning, says to seek. To seek. Keep in mind, this seeking is going to require some work. It's going to require some diligence. It's going to require some time. So, we know it, first of all, this admonition involves, a diligent pursuit. Now, notice the second thing here tonight. That this diligent pursuit must be a decision that's personal. Jesus said, but seek ye. That word ye is an old English word that we now more so would find ourselves saying you. So we could turn that little phrase around, you seek. You see, my friend, when it comes to this endeavor, it has to be something that you make up your mind to do for yourself. No one else can do it for you. It's not one of those decisions that can be delegated. It's not one of those things that can be left up to a majority vote. It's not based on the court of public opinion. When it comes to seeking, the kind of seeking that Jesus is talking about, the only person who can make that decision for you is you. Your parents can't vote for you. Your parents can't make up your mind. By the way, the pastor can't do it for you. If I could do it for you, I guarantee you I would have done it for everybody. One time, solve all the problems. But I can't. And here's something that every single one of us must recognize. No matter what background you grew up in, no matter what circumstances you have in your life, guess what? You still have a say. Let me say this. Because oftentimes I find that we look at individuals and we look at people and we compare ourselves among ourselves and we conclude based on decisions and sometimes more so consequences, good or bad, blessings. Oh, you had it easy because of XYZ. Well, how many of you know that you can grow up in a Christian home and still make the wrong decision? You can grow up in a non-Christian home and still make the wrong decision. You can grow up with both of your parents living in your home and still make the wrong decision. You can grow up with neither parent raising you and still make the right decision. And so when it comes to this matter of seeking, I'm simply saying to all of us here tonight that it is your choice. You have to make a decision for yourself. And watch this. When you make that choice for yourself, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. Amen. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. So ultimately, I'm saying when it comes to seeking, if you make up in your mind to seek for yourself, case closed. And so Jesus is giving an instruction here that he's saying to every single person, you make that decision for yourself. And when you make it for yourself, guess what? It will count. Amen. Amen. See, this is not something that based on whether the votes on one side. Your vote is the only one that counts. And if you vote for yourself and say, I will see God, it doesn't matter if the entire world say no. If you say yes, it's yes. So it's a decision that's personal. I want us to look at the third thing here tonight, which I call a divine purview. Now, I'm going to skip the next word and address the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because he's saying that we need to seek something. You see, purview means the range of operation, the scope, the area of control, the area of concern or authority. And so he's speaking, what are we ought to seek? What are we seeking here? He's saying you're seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Okay, when you hear the word kingdom, it ought to bring to mind that there is the aspect of dominion. In other words, there is a king. If you have a kingdom, there has to be a king. That king has rule, control, authority. And so when he speaks to the kingdom, it says the kingdom of God. So who has dominion here? God. Right? So there is dominion, and there's also a domain. Okay, the domain is the area over which this king controls. How many of you know that God is sovereign? Which means that there is nothing outside of his domain. So when we speak of the kingdom of God, it speaks to the advancement of God's agenda. So my friend, the kingdom of God and God's agenda touches every area of life. That's important to keep in mind. So there is no area of our lives that are off limits to God. Because he's the king, and he's king over all. With me? Now, this brings us to a duty. If he says to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, God is overall. There's nothing outside of his purview. He's a king and he's in control. Then it simply means I have a responsibility, first of all, to seek God's ruling and reigning in my own heart. Since he is king, there's nothing that he is not over. He's sovereign. Then I have to respond in submission and surrender with obedience to place this king on the throne of my life. That's why Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I what? Say. So he's saying here to us that we ought to seek righteousness, holiness, God's desire for our lives. That must be personal by placing God on the throne of my own life. So I must seek the kingdom by letting God have his way in my heart. But here's another way in which we ought to seek the advancements of God, the advancement of God's kingdom, by letting God work in us to use us for his kingdom to be advanced in the lives and hearts of others. Okay, so when God works in our hearts individually, he's on the throne of our hearts. Guess what? Building the kingdom and advancing the kingdom means that I want others to do the same. So whatever will help that to happen, whatever would further that agenda, I am right on board because I'm furthering and advancing the kingdom of God. Amen? That's exactly what it means. And that is why, no matter who you are, it is God's divine will, mark this down, for every person, without exception, to be a member and an active member of a local church that is clearly involved in furthering the kingdom of God in accordance with his instructions. How much do we take this seriously? How much do we realize the importance of being actively engaged in the kingdom-building vehicle, God's local New Testament church? And that is why when you are a part, which you should be a part, you ought to prioritize what takes place there. Amen. That is why, as a church, we don't close and what's happening here for events like interprimary and community events. Why? Because what's happening in furthering the kingdom in hearts is more important than what's happening out there. Amen. So we got to understand what's happening when we're involved in a local church. So Jesus speaks here to this divine purview. And then notice very quickly the dedicated priority. I'm going back to this because I had to explain what is the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But notice, he says that it relates to seeking, as it relates to pursuing, as it relates to being involved in building the kingdom, he gives a dedicated priority. He says, this has to be your top priority, your number one agenda. Seek this thing when? How? First. God does not want second place. God does not want third place. By the way, the only place he wants is first place. By the way, he deserves first place. And when it comes to making this thing a dedicated priority, here's what I'm realizing, and I hope you realize it as well. If you're going to put something first, here's what has to happen. You have to have some passion about it. Because if your heart is not in it, it's not going to be first. And God wants us to be passionate about him. If something is not in your heart, my friend, it's not going to last. And Jesus wants us to put him first. Sometimes I hear the comment that, and it can happen to us, but sometimes it exposes that it's not a real passion. Now, Pastor, this thing happened and it killed my drive. It killed my spirit. I was on the right track and something happened to offend me. Something happened to hurt me and this thing killed my passion. My friend, I'm going to submit to you that if that thing really, truly decimated your passion and it killed it, it destroyed it to the point where it cannot be resurrected, my friend, I can tell you that it was not being done for the right reason and it wasn't being done putting Jesus first. Because I'm telling you, there's some times where you're going to be discouraged. And there's going to be some times when you're going to be despondent. There's going to be some times when you feel like throwing in the towel. But when you think about Jesus, when you think about what he did for you, listen, it reignites your passion. And as I told you this morning, things are going to get exposed. Because when you stop, it often means, and I'm talking personally, you were doing it for the wrong reason. So when the reason gets eliminated, the passion gone, it dead. But when Jesus is involved, he is involved in reigniting passion, my friend. When you think about the cross and what Jesus did, listen, the passion go whoop, right back up to full. And you keep on going. That's why your heart has to be in it. And that's why the heart has to be reignited from the right source. That's why Mark chapter 12 and verse 30 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength." This is the first commandment, because I'm telling you, if you love the Lord with all your heart, your passion is going to keep full. So when somebody offends you, it's not going to kill. No way, no how. God is still on the throne. He still loves me, and he's too good to me. So dedicated priority requires passion. But then it also requires the proof. You say, what's the proof? The proof is when you decide and the rubber meets the road, I am going to prioritize God. Amen. You ever been on a job and sometimes a meeting is scheduled and something else comes up that's more important and that meeting has to be rescheduled for something else? You know what that is saying? It's saying that the other meeting is more important and we have to make a change. My friend, there are some times in our lives where we're going to have to make some decisions that I have to reschedule this for this because this is more important. Amen. 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 There's some times where you're going to have to put your phone on silent to further the kingdom. There are going to be some times where you're going to have to spend some time with your spouse to help further the kingdom. You're going to have to spend some dedicated, uninterrupted time with your children to further the kingdom. The world is not going to open up and just make it possible. That's why he says you got to seek, you got to persist, you got to pursue, you got to act. And then notice finally the definite promise. He says, if you do this, you seek me first. Look at what I'm going to do. He says, all these things. You know what things he's talking about? Provisions. Food. Shelter. Clothing. The things we slave and spend hours and hours endeavoring to have. God says, you put me first, I'm going to provide these things. My friend, God has no problem blessing people and providing. So he said there are going to be provisions. But notice the prediction. He says, these things shall be. He didn't say, they may be. Well, if you do it, let's see what happens. He says, it shall be. Notice providence shall be added. That's the actual act of God working it out. Listen, it's an exciting thing when you see God work something out and you see it orchestrated by the hand of God. That is providence. And then he said, just like the decision that you made was personal, He says, this promise is personal. You see, you can't claim the promise if you're not willing to make the personal decision. So he says, seek ye first, that's the word you. You seek first, and all these things shall be added unto who? You. So he says, when you seek, you are going to receive the blessing. And just like the decision is personal, the receiving is personal. The seeking is personal, and the receiving is personal. God says, I'm making a promise to you. And I am not a man that I should lie. God says, my promises are yea and amen. God keeps his word. And if we embrace what God has said, we would be amazed at what God does. Amen. So let's just make up in our minds that we're going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and watch him do what God does. Amen. Amen. And that's a responsibility for every single church member.